We now begin Maseches Rosh Hashanah. This is the first Mishnah, first Perek, 1-1. And the Mishnah will discuss the various accounting New Years, if you will, regarding different halachic phenomena. The same way our year may begin on January the 1st, but some firms use a June 30th as a cutoff at the end of their fiscal year. And we have a school year that begins, you know, let's say it's September 1st, whatever the story is. So there are other years that begin at certain cutoff dates. And these cutoff dates are important for what I'll call accounting purposes. So the Mishnah says, Arba Roshei Shanim Hem. There are a total of four different dates in the calendar which serve as cutoffs to mark the beginning of a new year for various accounting purposes. The first is Be'echad Be'Nisan, the first day of the month of Nisan. We're starting with Nisan because that's the first month of the year. And the first day of the first month, first of Nisan, is Rosh Hashanah l'malachim v'l'regalim, is the first day of a new year for two accounting purposes. The first is for kings, and when we say kings, what we mean is in a shtar, some kind of halachic contract or a get. So in the time that we had Jewish kings, we would use the date based on the year of the reign of the given Jewish king. We would say, you know, in the such a year of the such and such king's reign. Now, for accounting purposes, it would be nowadays probably easy to figure out the anniversary of the inauguration. And in America today, you have like election day and you have the president comes in at in January every 4 years. It's sort of easy to keep track, but that wasn't the case in antiquity. And therefore, they used a convention of the first day of Nisan being the cutoff, marking the second year of the king's reign. So for example, if a king became inaugurated as king in the month of Adar, the month preceding Nisan, so come the first of Nisan, a few days later, that would mark the first day of the second year of his rule. And that would be the way that it would be expressed in and accounted for in various shtaros contracts. Second of all, v'leregalim, and also for regalim. Regalim literally means the pilgrimage festivals. What this is referring to, however, this is referring to the law in the Torah, the prohibition called Baal Ta'acher, that one may not delay and push off his delivery of a neder or nedava, some sort of voluntary gift that he pledged to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. So a person, let's say, says, I commit to bring a sheep as a shlamim offering. It's a voluntary shlamim. That would be, of course, that's called a neder. So now the Torah says you may not delay in delivering your pledge. So when does one cross the line and violate this prohibition? So according to our Tana, it's going to be after three regalim, pilgrimage festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, pass in order, meaning that you have to pass through a Pesach and then a Shavuot and then a Sukkot, specifically in that order, to be over Baal Ta'acher, and then comes the end of Sukkot, you've crossed the line. So what that means is, let's say, for example, we're talking about the person who made the commitment to bring the Shlamim, let's say he does it during the Sfiras Omer period. In such a case, so what will happen is the first regal that will pass will be Shavuos, and then the second will be Sukkos, but that doesn't matter yet because we're saying, according to our Mishnah here, the year begins, if you will, with the first of Nisan, meaning Pesach, and therefore we have to sort of have the regalim in order. So you won't be crossing the line and violating Baal Ta'acher until another Pesach passes, and then another Shavuos, and another Sukkos. The point is that it's three starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan in that order, and that's because of the pasuk which says B'chaga Matzos, V'chaga Shavuos, V'chaga Sukkos. There's a specific order for the holidays: Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, and therefore that's going to be the line in the sand. The first of Nisan, and you have to pass three after that in order to be over Baal Ta'acher. Two important points. The first is an FYI that there's actually a mitzvah aseh to bring the pledged carbon as soon as possible, meaning if even the first of the regalim pass and you don't deliver it on that first regal, you've already violated the mitzvah aseh. That's based on the pasuk that says, Uva'asa shama, you'll come there to the place Hashem will choose. Let's call it Jerusalem. Ve'vesem shama oloseichem v'zivchechem. You'll bring your olos and your other sacrifices, and if you fail to bring your voluntary sacrifice, you've already been mevatel the aseh, you haven't done the commandment. properly. But the Baal Ta'achar, the lav, doesn't happen until, according to our Tana here, you pass the third regal in that order. The Bar Tanura learns like the Rambam that the halacha is not like this Tana, this is Rabbi Shimon, but the halacha actually follows the Tanaim who hold that it's any three in a row, any three regalim. So meaning the case I gave you before, if a person in the middle of Sfiras Omer period commits to bring a ned there, so then he'll only have Shavuos, Sukkos, and then Pesach, and when Pesach, that first Pesach, end of that Pesach, if he didn't bring it yet, he'll be over Baal Ta'achar. That's the halacha according to the Rambam. There are other Rishonim, like the Ritva and Rashba, who disagree, but I assume the halacha is like the Rambam. Okay, meaning the Ritva and the Rashba learn like our Mishnah, that indeed it has to be three in order, starting with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Second of all, Be'echad Be'elul, on the first day of the month of Elul, that's Rosh Hashanah L'Maaser Behema, for the tithing of livestock. The cutoff is the first of Elul. The idea here is that one has to give a tenth, or I should say, if a person has, let's say he has cows, goats, or sheep, so if he has 10 cows, he's supposed to put them in a corral, and then they should come out of the corral one at a time, the tenth one out of the corral, daubed with red paint, and that becomes a korban called Maaser Behema. If a person only had 9 cows in a given year, so then he will not send any of his cows to be korbanos, none will be Maaser Behema. If a person had 19 cows, he only has 1 cow, that'll be Maaser Behema, that'll be the 10th one that comes out when he puts all 19 inside the corral. If he has 20 cows, he'll bring 2 as Maaser Behema. Okay, so there's a rule, and the rule is that you can't tithe last year's cows on this year's cows, or vice versa. That rule is basically learned out from a very similar rule that applies to agricultural produce, which must be tithed. Now, the pasuk in Devarim Perek Yudalet, pasuk Chav Beis, 14:22 says, "Aser ta aseres kol tvuas zerecha hayotzi hasadeh." You'll certainly tithe all of your grain that comes from your fields, shana shana, year by year. And shana shana, year by year, tells you that you only can tithe this year's grain on this year's grain. You can't, you know, combine this year and last year's grain and then tithe some from this year on last year and vice versa. Therefore, that means you have to have some cutoff date, which says, defines which year a given, you know, given grain belongs to. And we learn similarly, that's going to apply to animals as well. So the cutoff will be, according to the Tana here, the first day of the month of Elul. And the reason why Elul is chosen is because by the time Elul rolls around, Elul is the end of the summer. And by then, all the animals have really, all livestock have normally been, have given birth. Hashem arranged it that animals are born, livestock are typically born in the spring and summer so they can have a chance to grow in warm weather and when there's food around before the winter comes. And therefore, by Rosh Chodesh El, all the animals are normally born. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Be'echad B'Tishrei, they actually disagree and they say, no, the first of El is not the cutoff date for the measuring which year an animal belongs to. Rather, it's the first day of Tishrei, the same as other grain, etc. And the reason why is because they also understand that we're connecting the obligations of Maaser Behema, tithing the animals year by year, to the Maaser of the Tevuah, of the grain. And just as when it comes to grain, the cutoff is the first day of Tishrei, so too, when it comes to animals, the cutoff should be the first day of Tishrei. That's their Shita. The Tanakama, the previous Shita, held that just as when you finish processing your grain and you're going to give your tithes, that'll be at the end of the summer, meaning at the end of Elul, because Tishrei already starts to rain. You have the holidays and then rain, so you finish by then. So too, when the animals are finished having their babies, which will be already done by the first of Elul, you can give your Maaser Behema. Okay. The Mishnah goes on to say, Be'echad B'Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah conventionally, so that actually is the Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim V'L'Shmitin V'L'Yovlos V'L'Natia V'L'Yirakos for 5 different phenomena. The first is Shanim, years. This is a reference very similar to the talking about the Malachim we had before, but the years, as you count them, when you want to count the Gentile overlord, let's say the emperor, we also, for the purposes of promoting peace, would recognize in our contracts back then who the Gentile overlord was. So we would say, you know, in such and such a year of the Persian, you know, emperor so-and-so's reign. And that was just essentially to make sure that there's, you know, we acknowledge them and make sure we have peaceful relations with them. So that will be done. The second year of, in our accounting purposes, the second year of such and such a king's reign would begin at the first of Tishrei. Now, that practice is long gone. There was an interim practice called Minyan Sharos, where they would count the years based on Alexander the Great, Alexander HaMakdon, the Macedonian, as they call it in Hebrew, in Chazal, which basically works out to 310 BC, the year 3449, the Jewish calendar as we count it today, 380 years prior to the Chorban. But that's also lapsed. Nowadays, we don't do any of that. There's no point in counting Goyish kings at all because the Goyim themselves don't do that. So why should we try to promote peace if they don't care? We don't care. But we do count instead from like the creation of the world. So we would have the year like 5781 or whatever the case may be to keep track of the years. And that's how we do it nowadays. Okay. Next you have Lishmitin. Shmitin is referring to the Shemitah year. Every 7 years of the agricultural cycle is a Shemitah year. During that year, it's forbidden to plow and plant, and the produce has a certain kedusha to it. The rules of Shemitah kick in, and that's going to happen midoraisa from the first day of Tishrei. That's when the Shemitah year begins. Vile Yovlos. Yovlos, the Jubilee years. So the way that the Bar Tanura, the Rambam learn it is, after seven cycles of 7 years, after that seventh Shemitah year, the fifth, that's 49 years, of course, the 50th year will be the Yovel year. So you'll have Yovel year the day after the year after the Shemitah year. And the Yovel year basically is another Shemitah year. So you'll have 2 years of Shemitah where the land lies fallow, the produce has sanctity, no trumas and maestras, everyone has access to the fruits, etc. That's the Yovel year. Yovel, in addition, has two other major features. One is that if you had like an indentured servant, a Jewish, an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, who they're going to go free. Even an Eved Ivri who said, oh, I don't want to go free, I want to live with my master, I'm the household, I like my life over here. Even him, the Nirtza, the guy who has like his the ear punctured on the doorpost guy, so even he goes free in the Yovel year, regardless of whether he wants to or not. And similarly, there's a rule that ancestral lands, I'm not talking about Are Batechoma, if you're familiar, like in walled cities, houses in walled cities, forget that, not my topic right now. But ancestral plots of land, they belong to a person, to a shevet, to a tribe, and if one would sell his ancestral plot, comes the Yovel year, it reverts back to its original owners. So that's what's happening in the Yovel. The Yovel begins on the first day of Tishrei. Worth noting, actually, is that in practice, the first of Tishrei, actually nothing different is going to happen because the previous day, the last day of Elul, was already Shemitah, so the Shemitah just continues on the next day on the first of Tishrei. And as well, the releasing of the slaves and the return of the ancestral plots won't actually happen until the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur, the 10th day of Tishrei, then actually when things will go into effect. But the Shemitah, the Yovel year begins the first of Tishrei. Vilenatia. A natia is a sapling. And this is the Rosh Chodesh for saplings. In Hebrew, there are three words for trees. You have eitz, ilan, and natia. They don't mean the same thing exactly. An eitz is a tree, period. A natia is an immature tree, like a sapling. And an ilan is a mature tree. So when we say natia here, we mean like baby trees. And we need to keep track of the baby tree's age because the first 3 years of a fruit tree's life, its fruit is called orla. It's proscribed, it's blocked off, forbidden. And we need to keep track of how old the tree is. So we don't measure a tree from the year the day it was planted. Rather, we measure it, its second year, if you will begin when it crosses over the birthday for all saplings, which is the first day of Tishrei. Now, just to be a little more precise here, the accounting works that for a tree to be considered to be in its second year come the first of Tishrei, it has to have taken root and been enrooted in the ground for at least 30 days prior to the first day of Tishrei. And we also paskin that it takes 14 days for a sapling to take root. So that gives you 30 plus 14 is 44. So if you want to plant your tree in such a way that when we get to Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, it'll enter its second year, What you'll have to do is plant your tree no later than 45 days before the first of Tishrei, which is going to work out to Tu B'Av, the 15th day of the month of Av. Now, that's how it works. And if you planted it by Tu B'Av, so then comes the first of Tishrei, your tree has entered into its second year for the count of Orla. Now, just this isn't even as simple as it already didn't sound. More than that, comes the second first of Tishrei. So now we're talking, let's say, if you planted on Tu B'Av, we're talking about 13 and a half months after you planted your tree. Now your tree will enter its third year. It remains, the produce remains Orla. At the end of that year, when the first of Tishrei rolls around, so you're now you've planted your tree 2 years, which is 24 months plus a month and a half, so you're 25 and a half months ago on Tu B'Av you planted this tree. Now it's entering into its, would be fourth year. The problem is, once it is entering to that fourth year, it's already now become no longer a natia, a sapling. It's now been promoted to being an ilan. And the Chag Ilanot, as we'll see in the Mishnah shortly, the Rosh Chodesh for an ilan, a mature tree, is, we pause in Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat's a few months later. So what will happen is, even though it's passed now into its, what you would have thought was its fourth year, comes the first of Tishrei, no, since this no longer is a natia, but now an ilan, it's still, its produce is still Orla until it passes through the month of Tishrei, the month of Cheshvan, the month of Kislev, the month of Teves, and half of the month of Shvat, so 4.5 months. So we said the minimum would be 25 and a half months till it gets to that beginning of its fourth year, would be fourth year with Rosh, the first day of Tishrei. That's 25 and a half months, but then you have 4.5 more months until you get to the 15th of Shvat. So that means that your tree will stop being an Orla tree or having Orla produce at a minimum of 30 months after you plant it, okay? And it could be much more than 30 months, even up to 42 months if you planted it, 40 months roughly, if you planted it earlier in the year, okay? So earlier in the year instead of Tu B'Av. Anyways, that's what we're talking about here. And by the way, and then once the, that's for Natia. And yurakos are vegetables. So the rule is that a vegetable also has to be subject to various tithes. It's subject to Shemitah. To determine the vintage of a given vegetable, it's determined by when you pick the vegetable. So if you pick a cucumber, the year to which it belongs is the year when you picked it. And now, since you can't tithe this year's produce and last year's produce, and similarly, you might need to give in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the cycle, you give Maaser Sheni. In years 3 and 6, you give Maaser Ani. You have to determine which year this cucumber belongs to. And that will be based on when you picked it. And if you picked it before Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, then it's the previous year's. If you picked it after the first of Tishrei, it's this year's. Okay, that's that. Now, Be'echad B'Shvat, on the first of Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, that's the, by the way, you notice we didn't mention anything about Rosh Hashanah being a day of judgment. That's not the point of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is discussing accounting. Next Mishnah, we'll talk about judgment. So, the fourth and final of the Rosh Hashanah is Be'echad B'Shvat, on the first day of the month of Shvat, that's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, that's the Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the new year for Ilanot, mature trees, Kedivrei Beis Shammai. That was Beis Shammai Shita, but Beis Hillel say no. Beis Hillel Omrim, B'chamisha Sarbo, not till the 15th of Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, do the trees have their new year. Of course, you pass like Beis Hillel. The Machlokas here, Beis Shammai say that once you get to the first of Shvat, already most of the rain for the year has fallen, and therefore the sap's beginning to grow. This is sort of like the beginning of the new year, and soon we'll see the trees begin to blossom. You know, Shkedia Parachat, the almond tree blossoms first, typically, and so on. So Beis Shammai says that's really like on the second half of the rainy season, and therefore that'll be the cutoff. Beis Hillel say, no, we want to be the second half of the winter season, just like we're accustomed to. Winter is 3 months long, and for our, in the secular accounting, 21st of December approximately marks the beginning of winter. 21st of March, approximately March, the end of winter and the beginning of spring. So too, the winter is called the Tekufas Teves, the beginning of Teves marks the beginning of winter. So those 3 months, Tevet, Shvat, and Adar, those are the three winter months. And Beis Hillel say, so the middle of the middle month, the middle of Shvat, is the 15th of Shvat. So that will be, once you get to 15th of Shvat, you've passed the first half of the winter and the second half of winter, and now, again, the sap's beginning to flow in the trees, things are, you know, we're moving towards a new year. And at Tu B'Shvat already will begin the new year for the Ilanot, and that, of course, is the Halacha. So the Machlokas I'm describing here is Beisham, I say the second half of the rainy season, versus Basil says the second half, you reach the second half of the winter season.